Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast, the official podcast of Seek and Strike Collective. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Welcome to the Hive, everyone. My name, of course, is Seth Goodoff, and we are back this week with another episode of the We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Joining me tonight, we have Alicia Arias.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're doing well, Alicia. Glad to have you back. You did some traveling. You've been on the road. You're now back with us.
Yes.
We're glad to have you. How was your trip?
It was really fun. Phoenix, man, it's hot out there. The highest it got, I believe, was like 115. It was brutal. But, you know, we kind of invaded a Phoenix Rising territory with representing United out there.
It's always fun to see folks when they go to somewhere they shouldn't be. You know, hopefully you're repping the black and yellow.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, glad to hear it. Also joining us tonight, we've got Josh Carrillo to my right.
What's up, everybody?
Josh, how you doing this week, my man?
I'm doing good.
You didn't get thrown out of any more football games, did
no,
you?
No, I did not. No. But we totally crushed it this weekend. We beat the team we were playing 25-0. My defense was just unstoppable this weekend. So it made me a very proud coach. Then I went to go visit the United's proud sponsor, and that's Meow Wolf. I was there on Saturday. Cool little place, man.
What were you doing there, Josh?
What was I doing there?
Yeah, what were we doing there?
I was there for a birthday party.
Oh, nice.
My nephew had a birthday, and he turned 9, and then my little cousin turned 3. So they decided to do a joint birthday party, and they went to Meow Wolf.
Very cool. My daughter's been up there. I've heard it's a really cool exhibit. I haven't personally been up there yet, but it's definitely something that's on my list of things to do.
The only complaint I have is if you're an adult, there are very tiny spaces that are just meant for like kids, so you can't climb through those little cool little spaces. And then also kind of the wallet kind of hurts the wallet a little bit.
Really, I wouldn't think it'd be that.
It's $25 if you're a New Mexico resident, $30 if you're.
Ooh. Okay, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe Peter can hook us up a little
right?
bit.
Right? I should have talked to him before.
I mean, it's great up in that area. You know, we've been up there before with my folks that come out to visit, and they really love it up there. We've been to several different museums. Like, personally, I like going to the Chuck Jones Gallery.
Yep.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have.
Oh, it's such. I mean, that's the age we grew up in. You know, mm-hmm. Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny, all that kind of stuff. And just seeing his artwork is just a lot of fun for me.
I look forward to what Meow Wolf has to bring to the table, because I know every year they're going to change it up. A little bit, so
yeah.
It's going to be cool to see what they do next year. But definitely a place you have to visit once in your life.
Yeah. You heard it right here from Josh. You know, if you get out here to the Santa Fe area, you know, definitely come out and check out Meow Wolf. And, of course, last but not least, joining us tonight, sitting across the table, co-host, one and only Chris Walker. Chris, how you doing tonight?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Thanks, Seth. And by the way, how are you doing?
How am I doing? I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's... busy as always, busy weekend. We took the kids to go see Lion King yesterday.
How's that?
You know, my wife and I were talking about it afterwards, and honestly, I could have done without it. I mean, the original, it didn't need to be remade. I mean, I looked at it when it first got announced. The casting looked incredible. You know, you've got James Earl Jones coming back. You've got an incredible voice cast, but it felt very forced. Like, it just to me, it was completely unnecessary. Kids loved it, which was good. But I didn't think it was really necessary for it to be redone, especially now.
I definitely like the fact that you said James Earl Jones' voice is in there. That's good. Like, you can't go wrong with that. But if it wasn't him, whose voice do you think they'd use? Like Morgan Freeman or?
no, Morgan. That's no. Morgan Freeman doesn't have the voice for that. I mean, that's definitely a James Earl Jones voice. And honestly, you wouldn't want to recast him.
Yeah.
You couldn't. I mean, you really can't.
Why do you think that they went with making like a live-action version of The Lion King versus like...
I'll tell you why, Chris. Cha-ching! Disney is now invading everything. Disney is now purchasing an airline. Disney is going to be taking over the world.
Yeah.
Look what they bought. They bought Sony. They bought... they purchased a
Fox.
Big... Fox, yeah, excuse me.
Fox, yeah.
But look at that. And they're going to take over the world. Now they're going to have their own streaming service. So when they when you hear live action, you hear chitching.
As all these remakes, these live action remakes that they're doing, I think are completely unnecessary. Mulan looks good. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for that. It looks good, but again, it's probably just another one of those that just doesn't need to be redone.
No, and I feel like it doesn't need to because they said that Mushu is not going to even be in the movie, and that kind of makes me upset. And they're not even going to do any of the songs in the movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
So it's not and necessary.
Then Little Mermaid was confirmed too.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're also not going to do the original Little Mermaid songs in that one either. So,
And
Flounder is going to be a clownfish now.
We don't need Nemo. We really don't. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think all these live action remakes and stuff like that can just go the way of the birds. You know, I think Kevin Smith has said it correctly, you know, with Jay and Silent Bob reboot. You know, reboots and remakes really don't need to happen all that often. You know.
Jay and Silent Bob. I think that's going
to
be hilarious.
That's the one that I'm looking forward to. But yeah, it's just been so much going on. But before we get jump into the show, we've got a lot of things to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the friendly last week against Cardiff City, club from Wales. Fantastic night. A couple of us were out there. We've got that. We're going to give reactions to that. We're going to talk about the upcoming Sacramento match. Finally, the end of the road trip is here. The club is going to be back home soon. And we've got so many other things to talk about as well. We've got happenings around the USL and so much more. But before we go any further, of course, a big thank you to California Redemption for the song Humor Me you heard at the top of the show. You can find more of their music on Bandcamp. And, of course, that's California with a K. And the entire group here tonight, of course, we are Seek and Strike. And, of course, for those of you listening live, as you do each and every week, you can be a part of the show by texting your questions into our text line. We did have to change our text number tonight due to a technical issue. So you can text us tonight at 505-377-8706. Get your questions in. And Josh will be getting to those a little bit later on in the show.
We got a handful.
A handful. All right. Looking forward to that already. And, of course, as always, tonight's show is, of course, brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, Roadrunner Law Firm. Of course, we're sitting here in the Roadrunner Law Firm offices tonight again. Huge shout-out to them for allowing us the use of their facilities. And, of course, Doral Motors. Can't forget about them as well. So huge thank you to our sponsors. And, I mean, let's just jump right into it. I mean, we've got a lot of things that have been going on recently. You know, big thing for me personally is this past weekend was San Diego Comic-Con. The holy grail of Comic-Cons. And I don't know how big of geeks you guys are, but...
Dude, I have a podcast called Beyond the Nerd. Like, that's my show. Like,
Beyond... Okay, let me go find... I'm going to subscribe to that right now. Where's,
we're on Spotify.
You're on Spotify, okay. Get me on there. We got to talk. We'll get on there.
Yeah.
We'll do that. But, I mean, for me, it's just... Comic-Con weekend... I've never been. It's a dream of mine to get out there to San Diego for this weekend. And there's so many things that happened. I mean, Marvel, of course, just absolutely obliterated the conferences Saturday night.
Phase four
is coming. I mean, look at the titles that came out. Just Marvel alone. You've got the new Thor movie, Love and Thunder.
You know,
Jane Foster will be Thor.
Natalie Portman confirmed that she is going to play Thor.
For me, that's huge because in the comics, they did the series, I think it was about 2 years ago, where Jane Foster became Thor. It was such a huge turning point for Marvel Comics to see that happen. So I mean, you've got Thor, you've got Black Widow, which is first up on the list. Mm-hmm. You've got the other movie Shang-Chi, which not a lot of people know about. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. We'll get to see the real Mandarin, not the guy that we saw in Iron Man 2. We know that was terrible. I love Ben Kingsley, but that was just the character development there was not great.
Yeah.
You got the Eternals.
The Eternals, yep.
Yeah, it's Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Did you see the subtitle on that one?
Yeah, it's you know what it's going to be?
Multiverse of Madness.
They confirmed it's going to be a scary movie.
Yes.
Yep.
That really? Looks incredible, yeah. I wonder if it's going to be along the lines of the old House of M.
I heard rumors that it could be. I also heard that Marvel Zombies could be introduced into it.
Man, that was so much fun.
Yes.
I love those events. And then, I don't know if you saw it, but afterwards Kevin Feige came out and he did an interview. He confirmed Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm. Reboot.
He confirmed X-Men.
X-Men.
Well, sorry, Mutants.
Yeah.
They're on their way. He confirmed Captain Marvel 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and then, of course, Blade.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Well, did you...
Sorry.
Yeah, Blade. Blade's a good one. But Did you hear the possible name of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
No, I didn't.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
No.
I heard that one.
It's a possibility. It could be called Avengers of the Galaxy.
Really?
Really?
Because Thor is now a...
That is true.
Thor is now a member because he took off with them at the end of Endgame.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Because Chris Hemsworth did confirm on his Twitter that he is going to be part of Marvel for at least 3 more movies.
Yeah. What I want to say is I want to see the Nova Corps at some point.
Ooh.
That would be really cool. I'm really, because they mentioned it in Guardians of One.
Yeah.
They mentioned the Nova Corps. When do we see Nova?
And when we see Adam.
Adam, yeah.
Oh, man. Adam.
They left us with that teaser at the end of the...
Second one.
Yeah, the second one. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering where he's at.
Adam is supposed to be more powerful than Thanos.
Yeah.
So.
And let me ask you this. We also saw the TV shows that were announced that were all going to be on Disney+.
Hawkeye. You got...
Loki. WandaVision.
And the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Yep.
And then What If?
What If is going to be an animated feature with the original cast.
Yes, voice acted by the original cast members.
Yep.
Now, for me, What If is one of the seminal lines in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
All the different stories that happened in that universe, in the What If universe, coming to life.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston did announce that one of them episodes is going to be What If Loki picked up the hammer and not Thor.
Really?
And,
yeah. Mm, they've also announced, they've also confirmed that the first episode will be What If Peggy Carter became Captain America and not Steve?
And what if, because Robert Downey Jr. announced on his Twitter and Instagram that he will be in it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be What If Pepper Potts died during the explosion at his house. So it's like,
okay, ooh. this is getting interesting, actually. I mean, I do I do read comics, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm currently reading, what is it, Hulkverines, which was a short series, and then I'm also reading, Ghost Spider, which is like the reboot of Spider-Gwen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm currently reading right now. So, but I'm definitely all about these movies, too. So I think we got to get together and...
Total nerdgasm.
I think we totally got to get together and just watch a screening and then come back at it like on a Monday and just give our reactions to it.
No, I mean, once this stuff comes out, like, it's going to be incredible, you know, to see all these.
Yeah, because I think they also announced that Spider-Man, Guardians, and there was one Thor with Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Is not part of Phase 4. It'll be part of Phase 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they said, like, Blade is actually going to be part of Phase 5.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really cool. And the casting, Mahershala Ali, can't argue with that. I mean, you go from Wesley Snipes to Mahershala Ali. That's awesome.
You know where he came from, right? Another Marvel film.
Yeah, he came. He was in
Spider-Verse.
Yeah, he was in Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. Mahershala Ali was also part of the Luke Cage series.
Mm-hmm.
That was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So just great casting. Netflix, Marvel's done a fantastic job with all their shows. But that's not the only news that came out of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, anyone a Terminator fan?
No.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Did you guys hear this news?
John Connor is back.
John Connor's back. Edward Furlong is returning.
And Linda Hamilton is returning.
Yes.
That's
so
legit.
The two original characters.
And Arnold is returning too.
Arnold's, yeah. Can't do it without him. He'll be back as well. So that's exciting.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Nice. And then, of course, you guys follow the Arrowverse DC on the CW? Like Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow?
No. I haven't.
Oh, okay. I'm a huge fan. We're huge fans. We watch all the shows. They announced at Comic-Con that the original Robin, Burt Ward, will be coming to CW this season for the Crisis on Infinite Earths, like five-part mega like crossover. Burt Ward will be returning. In what role, we don't know. Also, Brandon Routh, who already plays the Atom on Legends of Tomorrow, will be reprising his role as Superman.
And they announced Batwoman, too.
Yeah, Batwoman's going to be coming out.
That's
They did a trailer.
Okay. With what's her face? The model. Ruby Rose.
Ruby Rose, yes. Yep. It's Kate Kane, also known as Batwoman, yes. That's exciting. And then this, to me, was interesting. The Flash, they revealed the Flash Season 6 trailer. The villain is a guy named Bloodwork.
Okay.
So in the trailer, he's played by, I can't pronounce his name. Do you remember, did anyone watch Heroes, the show Heroes on NBC?
Yes, I can watch every single episode.
Okay, you remember the Doctor?
Yes.
He's playing Bloodwork in the Flash series.
No.
Yes.
Ooh.
He's such a good actor. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do with that. And then just to cap it all off for me, Walking Dead season 10 trailer.
I thought they were going to make a movie.
They're doing that as well.
Yeah.
The movie's going to have Rick Grimes in it. Mm. And that's only going to be in theaters.
Nice. And they announced Breaking Bad too.
Yeah.
Nice. This weekend. Yeah, that's true.
A lot of announcements from Comic-Con. Like, I couldn't be more stoked about it.
Man, while you guys are talking Comic-Con, it makes me think about John Bernthal's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh, so is Aquaman. And every single woman in Albuquerque will be there. So if you're a single guy, go on down to Albuquerque Comic-Con in August, because there will be ladies not there for you, because they're there for Aquaman, but he'll be there.
Hey, so this could be a good time for you to meet someone, right? I know, Josh. I know, Josh. You're talking to someone, and she should hold on to you because you're a superhero in yourself.
You guys are both talking to people, right? Like, we're y'all both trying to get out there and get dating. You know, Alicia and myself, we're both settled. You know, we're happy. So, I feel for y'all dating.
With me yesterday, that's what I was doing. She called because her sync was having issues. Yeah. And see, look at that. See, she was blasting me on Facebook.
She's like, oh.
She's all, thank you, Josh, for spending the day with me and helping me with the bathroom. Like, come on.
Nice.
Gentlemen, dating advice. The lady needs help. You help her.
Yeah.
Even if it's a clock sink and Chewbacca lives in there, you still go down there and you help out. Yeah. So.
All right.
Chris doesn't have to deal with that because his lady's out in Cali. So.
That's right.
Yeah. He's going to deal with his own Wookiee hair.
Chris, when are we going to meet her, man? We keep talking about it.
October, bro. October for the Bloom Fiesta. Give her the full thing. We'll try to hold her over to Monday so she can come and sit and see this thing in person.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, you got to convince her. I mean, I know we're kind of out there a little bit with our show here and what we do, but...
Hey, real quick, while we're talking about shows, I will want to say that I am 3 episodes into Stranger Things Season 1.
Only 3?
Just 3.
I thought you were going to say Season 3. I was like, Chris, you go down here. Season 1, you're like, oh, dude.
And I just finished Season 1 today.
Yeah, you just... Oh, man.
It's intense, man. Like, having gone to Meow Wolf, I was like, wow, this is like Meow Wolf. And I couldn't put it down, but, I mean, I did put it down because I only have seen 3 episodes.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to go home and watch like 2 or 3 tonight. Thing is addicting. I can't believe I didn't jump in.
No, you got to get in there. You got to finish the whole thing. But you know, it's one of those shows that comes around. You know, like a Breaking Bad or a Sopranos that just really catches people, and it sucks you into what you've got going on.
They did a. Are you guys excited for Mayans?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get the spinoff series of Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, I think they're on their second or third season now.
Which one?
Mayans.
I thought this was the second.
I think it's the second season. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's the first season. I've seen about half of it. It's really good. They did, again, tremendous casting. And the problem that I have is that there's so much good TV now. You know, between TV series and documentaries and things like that, there's just so much to watch. Like, my Netflix list is...
Well,
like,
I
maxed out my Netflix
list. As soon as Disney Plus is available, that's all I'm watching.
Right?
Because, come on, guys, the old original Disney Channel movies, like Luck of the Irish and Motocross is going to be on there. Like, I might just spend my time watching Disney.
I mean, they'll have the entire back catalog. They'll have Fox stuff on there. Like, it's just... Disney's going to basically own the world now.
So, word of advice, I do know some stock investors. Start purchasing Disney.
Yeah.
Start putting money into Disney because it's just going to blow up.
Yeah, without a doubt. You got to imagine they're going to take a huge market share from Netflix when that pops out. And I imagine Netflix is going to lose quite a few folks here at the end of...
They're already losing some. They already said that they lost like 17 million viewers already.
Yeah.
Because the price went up to like...
Went up like $2 or something.
I'm getting charged like $17 now. Yeah.
Well, just think what happens once Friends and The Office leave, and they're going to lose how many billions of hours of shows watched.
Well, NBC's coming here. You know that, right?
Yeah.
NBC, studios coming here.
Yeah, we'll have a Netflix studio here as well. And I mean, Albuquerque's just booming as far as TV production, so.
But what about the soccer team? How's that going in Albuquerque? Mm.
Of course, that's why we are here. Mm-hmm. We talk soccer each and every week, and of course, we're coming off of an historic match for the club. Just got done. We played Cardiff City on Thursday night.
Wait a minute. Let me give you the proper intro.
Uh-oh.
It's time for our weekly Doral Motors Revved Up Recap by Seth Beedolf.
Yes, our Doral Motors revved up recap. Of course, we go back and look at the matches from the previous week, and you know, again, Cardiff City, historic match. First time a Welsh club has ever come to New Mexico, and our guys went out. We ended up with a 1-1 draw. I mean, Kenny got his first career goal. First professional goal, I should say. And they got it in the second minute. I mean, just a wonderful shot. Bent it right around the defender and the keeper. Just no shot at it. And then, you know, Cardiff did come back, and Bogle's free kick just... Ben didn't have a shot. I mean, you know, you saw him just kind of stand there. There really wasn't anything he could do. It was just a tremendous shot by Bogle. And, you know, it was a huge night. You know, we heard the curse singing for Salah. Yeah, we talked about Salah last week, and it was just a big night. I mean, I'll open it up. You know, what are our takeaways from the match? I mean, is there anything that we saw that we really liked? Is there anything we saw that we didn't like? How do you think we did in our first international appearance?
Well, first of all, it was on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I had some moments with YouTube where I wanted to kill ESPN Radio. Audio wasn't working for like the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Mm-hmm. I got that.
The camera was in and out, but you know, I understand it's hard. They're not really a TV station, they're a radio. But first of all, I want to say that I saw you on YouTube. You were in the stands, and I saw you. I wanted to text you and say you look pretty. I didn't see you two there. I don't think you were at the game, were you?
No, I was in Phoenix. Yeah, speaking of that, so we wore our kids that day throughout the whole day, and we got stopped by quite a few people saying they liked our kids, so you know that says something about the Phoenix residents over there.
Yeah.
And also we got stopped by family. They were like, oh, you're wearing a Mexico United jersey? And we were like, oh no, what are they going to tell us? And they're like, oh no, we're from Albuquerque. Shout out to you guys. I'm like, oh,
nice.
That's cool.
Nice. I didn't see Chris on YouTube, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I was sitting on the opposite side of the field with all the media, so we were on the, I guess it's the east side of the field.
I didn't see you though. Yeah, I saw Adam Nish, our photographer.
Yeah, so I was just sitting on the track, just alongside the tent.
I did not see
there.
You.
Yeah, they just didn't pan over there, man.
I saw Adam though, and I told him he looked beautiful. but you know, what I saw was the first 2 minutes were just absolutely amazing. I mean, the way we scored so quickly, but after that, it looked like we just kind of ran out of gas and the momentum. Yeah, we kept up with them, and yeah, we drew with them. But to me, it looked like I understand that this is a friendly, and you don't go too full force into it. You want to make it a good match, but it just looked like the intensity level was not where you would see it, like if it was a Lamar Hunt Cup or a regular season game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it was like the first 2 minutes, which is great. We seemed to get on the board in front of all of our opponents in those first 10 minutes. So that's definitely a consistency thing. Of course, going through the rest of the match, I mean, if it wasn't for that foul, obviously, then, you know, who knows how long it would have been before Cardiff City had gotten their score. I mean, the guys obviously did well between minute 2 and minute 63 to obviously still create chances for themselves and play a sound defense. Of course, after that, it was 1-1, but there are points in the game where I think you still see us ultimately not transitioning back into defense fast enough. And Cardiff City did take advantage of the difference in speed between their strikers and our defenders as far as playing balls high in the air. And you saw so many instances where they got the ball, they played it, it was 1v1, they shook our defender, and it was just literally their attacker and Ben Bowery. And you got to give it up to Ben Bowery, or Bowery, however you pronounce his name, because he definitely was very aggressive. I mean, he looked like he'd been playing all year. I mean, there were times when he came outside the 18 and just took the ball. There were times where, where he did his best to deflect goals, where it was just basically up to the Berkey bounce, or like the wicked roll that was going to happen. And then there were times where he was not even present because he leapt for it and they got second chance balls and they just put him on frame. So, I mean, definitely I thought goalposts was like in Bowie's favor.
Yeah, Ben was just terrific, and I actually ran into Cody after the match, you know, down at the side, and he just praised Ben for his effort, you know, having not been in all season and now getting a chance, you know, in an international play, and I was impressed with Ben. I mean, but you also got to give credit to the other guys that came on. You know, with the unlimited subs, we saw guys like Josh Goss, who we haven't seen in a while. Like we've been talking about seeing Josh. And then, you know, he came on, and I thought Goss played really well. There late in the second half, he put that cross into the box. And, oh, man, it inches away from, you know, being another goal had we gotten on the end of it. And then, you know, a little while after that, we saw the introduction of Gabe Legendre, the high-performance player that we signed, basically our academy player, almost. He came on, and I thought once he got a few touches, he really, you know, fell into the rhythm of the match. You saw him, you know, going back and forth, dropping back on defense, and I think it was a terrific showing by our guys.
Yeah, I think the boys did play a good game. I ended up seeing the second half, and I was really impressed to see Ben out there. He did really well. When I saw the lineup, I got really excited that he was in the starting 11. I was like, it's about time we get to see him. Like, I want to know what he's made of. And also, too, it shocked me to see Legendre, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was calm out there. He didn't look nervous. He was cool about it. And, you know, it looked like he's been playing with the team for about a while now. You couldn't tell that he was somebody that was just signed from the high performance program.
Yeah, in all, you've got to look at it as a positive for the club. You know, not only the exposure that the club got playing the national club, but, I mean, Josh, you mentioned it. There seemed to be two different energy levels. Now, I didn't necessarily see it that way, but if you look at the guys who played in the first half, I think it was Tony Soler. We saw, I think, Salih was in there. I could be mistaken on that. But those guys were flying. Mm-hmm. They really were.
Well, they're the ones with the fresher legs.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know you wanted to make this as fun and as a competitive game as you wanted to. You don't want to get risk of getting hurt, so... That's why I didn't. To me, from watching my view, like I said, I wasn't there live, so it's different on TV than it is there live. But it looked from my vision that guys just looked like they didn't want to get hurt. They were just out there to have some fun, get to know Cardiff City, and, you know, just have a good time. That's what it seemed like to me. There wasn't really any risk taking. Weehan got a little. I think he was the one that was.
Yeah.
Because he's a competitive guy. To me, it looks like the guys were just taking a nice, easy game and just having some fun with it.
Yeah, especially in a scenario where it is that international. It's a friendly. It doesn't mean anything. You definitely don't want to come out of that with any sort of injury, and we didn't.
No.
Now, I will say, though, that the ref got an earful a few times from the fans for what was perceived to be some bad fouls.
What's new?
Yeah, what's new with soccer in general, you know?
Yeah, hey, I will comment back on what Josh was saying, though, just about how it seemed like just like a good pickup game of soccer is that, you know, I did think that when I was sitting there, okay, this is a friendly, okay, you know, they are doing really well to really evade or avoid any sort of collisions or any sort of, like, fouls. Like, you did see that, and I thought, well, would this game stay that way through the nature of the game, or would there be a point where... Much like you've played pickup sports before, there's a point where it's your boy, but you're still going to go to the hole on him. So I just think there's a point where it got chippy and where you did see, I mean, within it was tactful, but like you did see some physical play, and I think Cardiff City got the edge on that. I mean, there was a point, did you notice the taller defender, I think it was Morrison is his last name, and he's one of the standout defenders for Cardiff City. He was number 4 on the field, but him and Stanford Sandoval were matched up through the game, and there were times where there was the ball that was being played in the back, Devin went down the field charging for it, and then this guy took off as well, and he was fairly in front of Devin, so it was a good matchup, but you could see when that play was blown dead that they, like, totally, like, you know, fist bumped each other, and it was good competition, so that's definitely cool.
One thing that I really noticed was the just the size difference in the players. I don't know. We talked earlier in the season about how we don't really necessarily have any height. Like, I think our tallest guy is 6'1". But you look at the height of these guys over for Cardiff City. They're a good. I mean, I saw. I think it was Brucey standing next to one of them, and then the guy, he's a guy's a good foot taller than Brucey.
It's like Shaq at an EDM concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, given all of that and how we've done recently, I really thought that our performance was really well. I thought we had a really good performance. I felt again the unlimited subs. Troy did a good job of getting everybody. I think the only two folks we didn't see were like Sam and Cody. I think there was the only two that we didn't see to come on. But to see everyone get some time, Austin looked incredibly fast down the left side.
He really did.
Austin looked so good. I was sitting down at the northwest corner there, and in the second half saw Austin making those runs. And he's extremely talented. And after the match, the head coach, the manager for Cardiff, had nothing but high praise for United and for the facility and for being out here and the opportunity to do it. He said, and several of their players said, that it's a unique opportunity for them to come out here, train in the warm weather, and then to also have the warm weather and the altitude. It's got to really be hard for those guys when they're not used to it.
Right.
And you saw it, and Austin, the one complaint that I have is there are these guys sitting behind me that complain. One thing we haven't seen it really yet in any of our matches were the hydration breaks. A couple guys sitting behind me were complaining about the hydration breaks the entire time. Like, why are we doing this?
No.
It's part of the rules of the game now. Like, the temperature hits a certain level, the referee at his discretion can call for hydration breaks.
And it's good because, it was incredibly hot last Thursday because I remember having football practice that day as well. It was 100 degrees that day. And then when people don't realize when you go on a field, the sun absorbs into the grass or the turf and it actually makes it hotter. So you're actually playing in a 12 degree higher level. So it was technically 115 degrees on that soccer facility field. And, you got to hydrate because these guys are going to get cramps, especially Cardiff City. Coming over here, the elevation is a mile high compared to England, where it's basically sea level, whole nother country. Yes, these guys need to hydrate. Those guys can go away.
Yeah.
Because, this weekend they made my kids hydrate, and I was super happy that they did that because there was an NFL player that died of heat. Exhaustion. So it's something that needs to be watched.
Yeah, it's happened across sports. We've seen it a few times at both professional and collegiate level football over the past few years. So definitely the fact that it's in the game and they are aware of it is definitely a big thing.
Yes, I'm happy they did.
So before we get off of Cardiff, I have one more question. Technically it's a home match. We haven't been home in basically 2 months. What did you guys think of the atmosphere? Either watching it on the
they didn't show the one side. They only showed the two ends, so I couldn't see the fans. I saw them packing in and walking in. I thought that was cool, but they didn't show the west side of the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, I got something on that. I thought it was cool. I mean, and let me go deeper into that. So we really haven't had competitive soccer at UNM Soccer Complex other than the friendlies earlier in the year for United. Of course, remember, UNM officially closed the door on the program early July. So at this point, that you definitely weren't going to have any more competitive soccer on the complex field. So to have competitive soccer there, one, was cool. But two, to see UNM alumni on the field yet again playing a match. So you got Weehan, Goss, Devin Sandoval on the field as well. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Right? So I have to imagine that there was a sort of ambiance to that for them. Because I'm sure if I saw old clips of Weehan, there was definitely some times where he's definitely taken some legitimate shots on that field.
Yeah.
So there they are on the field playing again. And the stadium packed out quick. I remember looking up at the stadium maybe just a little bit before you got there, maybe about 7 o'clock, and it was like, oh, it looks fairly empty. Then all of a sudden, it was just like folks just filed in.
Yeah.
So definitely liked it. In fact, kind of a spinoff, folks on Facebook were like, wow, the stadium was very packed out. I wonder if we could have got a third of that during the season that the Lobos were actually playing. And it wasn't like the conversation wasn't like to be a negative one, but it was actually very thought-provoking. And what it turned out to be was, okay, United obviously is a new club. Not everyone is a ultra and has a million teams that they're following, right? Some folks, this is their only team mm-hmm. that they're following. And through this team is a gateway to other things like MLS because we played Open Cup, EPL because we played Cardiff City, maybe League One or League Two because those other teams exist in our city, Solon, or WPSL for women's if you want to follow that. But it was very interesting that, okay, maybe the team is bringing in kind of a casual base, but they're slowly but surely going to become more like ultras. And, you know, and so it got to the fact that that's what was coming out of it. You know what I mean? And he was like, well, what is it that wasn't, because the conversation then kind of went into, well, why didn't, if folks are really loving soccer, why didn't it drift into the lower level teams? And it comes down to, I think,
visibility
and accessibility, and ultimately those things are dictated by money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know that if the Seoul or FC were placed into Isotope Stadium, would it necessarily force folks down there? But I think that those teams have to kind of become a product, or they have to be more closely knit in everything so that folks can kind of see that real family base. Because it's hard when your family is at Isotopes and then way out at St. Pius. You know, it's kind of a whole different vantage point. So I don't know. What do you think about that, Seth?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we packed over 6,300 folks into the UNM soccer complex the other night. You know, they did say it was a sellout, and it gave a very different feel compared to Isotopes Park. I don't know if you could hear it on the live stream, but with the metal bleachers, folks were stomping. You know, just
it's like an old high school football.
Basketball. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It gave just a very, to me, it seemed like a very intimate feel. Like we were definitely a lot closer to the pitch. You know, and I definitely think that if it did bring in those more casual fans. I saw some folks wearing Cardiff kits on the other night, and I thought that was really cool. You know, we got a lot of nice shout outs, the club did, you know, from Cardiff supporters afterwards. Now, I don't necessarily think that we need like the ultra mentality. I mean, if you look at some of the other clubs that have had like the ultras, like Red Bulls and some of the others, the ultras really gave really got a bad rap, you know. So I don't necessarily need like that type of ultra mentality, but just to be a regular fan, a regular supporter, you know, the ones that want to show up each and every week, that watch all the away matches, that get involved and, you know, do the call-in shows and listen to the shows on, you know, 101.7, listen to us, you know, stuff like that. That's what we need. And yeah, like you said, Chris, it's that visibility aspect. I think it has a lot to do with it. You know, because really, how much advertising does the Seoul get to do? How much advertising does Albuquerque FC get to do, or the NM Runners? You know, when you've got a club the level of United coming in and the money behind it, there's billboards all over town. You know, you've got there's TV spots. I mean, I tweeted it out the other day, I put it on the subreddit. I was watching the Braves game on MLB TV. There was an ad on MLB TV for United. Mm-hmm. Now, that to me is incredible, and just the amount of growth. You know, I think it comes down to, we need a soccer specific stadium that can house all of these clubs, maybe under one roof. You know, and surely there's something they can do to work that out.
Well, Bob on Facebook, he's posting this thing about a stadium, so yeah, he's already designed it. I don't know if you guys have seen Bob on Facebook, but he's already going at it.
That guy's great.
The stadium. So,
I mean, there's definitely things that can be done. You know, I don't think we want that ultra mentality, but we want, you know, dedicated, supportive fans coming out each and every week and watching the away matches. You know, Curse has been great about traveling. You know, and when we've got matches like Phoenix or El Paso or Austin or even OKC, Colorado, those are close enough that folks go out for a day trip or a short weekend trip. You know, I would like to see more folks doing that as well. But you know, it's just one of those things. Sustained support for the club, sustained ticket sales. It's going to be interesting to see what happens coming back from this extended break, how we do the rest of the season, and how does it carry into next season as well. But I mean, looking at next season, that's several months away, but we've got something a lot closer. We've got Sacramento coming up this week. Like I said earlier, the last segment of this road trip, 2-month road trip, 8 matches in a row on the road, not counting Cardiff, of course. And Sacramento's been playing okay recently. They haven't been great. They are 2-0-3 in their last 5 matches. We are actually tied with them at this point in the standings. They are ahead of on points, I should say. They do have, I believe, 2 more wins than us on the season, so technically they are ahead of us by USL rule breakers. And they do have 1 match at hand on us. They are coming off of a difficult loss to RGV. They lost 2-1, almost a last-minute goal by RGV to pull out the win there. They've still got Cameron Owasa. We talked about him early in the season. I believe he was one of our players to watch during that match. He is still their leading goal scorer. He's got 9 goals on the season for them. And it's going to be another tough matchup. I mean, how do we go forward? Do we think Cardiff gave us some momentum? We saw some things from some guys. Do we see a different lineup than what we have been seeing? And what do you guys think?
Where do you want to start?
Alicia, let's...
I don't know. I think our lineup is going to be the same consistent lineup that we had. Cody starting more, probably Bruce starting again, that same lineup. And by the way that I saw them playing against RGV, it seemed like they don't have that same chemistry that I saw when we played them here at home. Mm-hmm. I feel like the game here at home versus a game against RGV, it was way more intense. You can tell that by that too, because when RGV scored, I don't know if you saw the game, it literally went off of the goalie, then off of the post, and then off of another player, and then it finally went in. Yeah. You could tell that they got discouraged from that, and then they started going downhill, but they still kept the game at a 1-0 until it was that own goal by RGV. But I don't know. I feel like we will win, but it might be tough because you don't know what Sacramento will think about us. They'll be like, oh, maybe it's off of a win. We got this. It might get a little too cocky seeing how we've been doing these past games and how many goals they scored against us here at home. But then again, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, let me add on to this. So last week, our last league match, we didn't have Kevon or Juan Pablo. Do we see either of those guys back? Do we maybe see Soler come in after how impressive he was against Cardiff?
Okay, I'll answer that. So to answer your question, I do think that we could see Soler.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we could see him. And I will say that we did see him in the previous matchup with Sacramento as well. He was in that match.
That was a while ago, though.
It was. And we did have Frater in that match, too. I think that if we're... So to talk lineups, and I guess to kind of preface who we could see based on who we have seen. So given the fact that we were in Open Cup and we know that we were using kind of a alternate look... ultimately, because we were trying to save players. If you remember, so I pulled up the lineup from the previous one. So in the previous match, we had Williams and Frater up top. We had Akamatsu, Soler, Mohamed, and Estrada in the middle. We had Yearwood, Schmidt, Tete, and Padilla in the back line. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, in this the way this match went, just to kind of recall it, is that the guys were down 1-0, and then we sent in our subs in 45 as well as 66. We sent in 2 at 45 and then 1 at 66.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even send Weehan in. We sent Moore in and we sent, remind me, I think we sent in Moore.
Juan Pablo and Devin.
Right. And so we sent those guys in and then Sacramento still rung in those other goals at minute 77 and then 90.
Mm-hmm.
So now... look at it going forward, like how the lineup should change. I mean, if we're looking at this, to me, Williams isn't up top. I think you got Weehan up top, or possibly Devin Sandoval up top. I think you have Frater in for sure.
Mm-hmm. So what, we're going to do like a 4-3-3, have three guys up top?
No, I mean, but you know what's funny is we did, our first lineup of the year was a 4-3-3 formation. Mm-hmm. So we have opened up in that. No, I do think that it's going to be Weehan and Frater up top. Okay. That's what you got on top. In the middle, I think you definitely got Moore on the flank. We know that. We got Brucey in there. I do think that Troy has Estrada in that, whether they're starting or I think he brings them in the second half if he's got Bruce starting, obviously, because they play the same position. Muhammad did look good in Cardiff City, so I would want to see him because he definitely did rocket off some shots and just kind of remind me that we had other threats in the middle.
Honestly, I think that shot he took against Cardiff might have been his first of the season. I'm going to pull up the stats here real quick, but that was a heck of a shot.
Yeah, it was like it rifled through. Soler in the middle, I think that's nice. We need, obviously, good ball movement. Pablo, do we have him back.
Yeah, he'll be back. Houston,
so he's back. In the back, of course, you know we're going to have Schmidt there. We had a Yearwood there the first time around.
Well, we didn't have Josh. We didn't have Suggs,
so we'll have him. And then, of course, we'll have Schmidt there. Tete and, like, Hamilton switch in and out. I'd say you're probably going to see Hamilton there just because it's a healthy rotation for Troy. And then I think you could see Sampson. I would venture to say that you could see Sampson on the right side the first time we did have Padilla.
Yeah.
Now.
So that was Salih's fourth shot of the season.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So talking lineups, okay, like talking lineups. In the first match, if you recall, their first goal was scored because of a questionable foul. I mean, there were so many folks in the box. And their guy basically tugged on Justin Schmidt's arm, and there was this foul. I mean, I looked at it a couple times today, and it really does look like a bad call. It looks like the guy just kind of took advantage of the situation. He kind of fell off the ground, and then they awarded him this free kick. And then from there, it was just on. And Awaza scored twice. So in my prep work tonight, I was thinking about a couple things. Okay. Let's talk about New Mexico's strengths currently, right? I'm thinking a strength that we have right now is that we're able to get numbers up, okay? Mm-hmm. That's something that has been kind of evolving since LA Galaxy and even FC Dallas as well. Also, another thing is that they are becoming a little bit more creative. We did see that in Cardiff City. And we did especially see that against Minnesota with how they fed Santi Moore the ball right there in front of the box. So that's definitely a different shot for him. So creative and creating chances are strengths. But on the flip, and I want to open this up to you guys to kind of comment on it, on the flip for weaknesses, the transition back into defense, that is something that's a question. I did ask Troy briefly about that after the Cardiff City match, and basically what he had to say is, yeah, we have to do better about transitioning back into defense. He's like, we made poor decisions because we basically got beat. He's like, those fouls happened because of the fact that we got beat and we just tried to save a goal. And so ultimately, not putting ourselves in the situation is what we have to do. And then the other thing in addition to that, like I said, is just, yeah, so just poor decision making and transitioning back into defense, I perceive our weaknesses right now. But what else do you guys see as maybe either strengths or weaknesses that you would want to comment in addition to?
I think it's along those lines. It's that we don't have pure defenders. You know, and Troy said it before, our guys are very attack-minded. So we're not, I don't expect us to be great in that transition, but I think we've shown a lot of growth in that area. I think against Cardiff, we played really well defensively. I mean, yes, we got beat a few times, but you have to look at the quality of player that Cardiff has compared to our guys. Not that our guys are bad by any means, but you've got Cardiff, who are, you know, second tier of one of the premier football associations in the world, and it's just a level of talent. Now against Sacramento, I think we'll be better in that transition part of the game, and I think we'll be better at controlling the football, especially in the middle of the pitch.
How well do you think there are two variables for Sacramento, I think. Two variables. So one is the new signing for Mella. We don't know if he's going to be in this match. He wasn't in the match, or he didn't come into the match against RGV, right? Mm-hmm. This was a new signing for them. So I haven't got a chance to obviously look up for Mella. I know that, you know, that he's obviously, you know, a huge offensive threat in his previous clubs. So if seeing someone new come into Sacramento's attack, how much, what do you think that would look like? Do you think that, I mean, obviously they don't have this chemistry, as much as I know, unless the guy is just a true gamer and can just get along with someone. Do you think that having a unknown variable that our club hasn't seen, do you think that's going to be an advantage to Sacramento? Will they be able to capitalize on that? Or do you think that they're still going to be figuring out their own chemistry with him and it won't be as much of a threat to us?
I think they're still going to be figuring things out. I mean, he's experienced. He is 23. He was playing with the Polish first division. But yeah, he didn't play. I think I read something that Sacramento didn't approve his international contract or something along those lines. I'd have to look at the beat for sure. But they really haven't made a whole lot of changes to their roster. I mean, they have struggled as far as scoring. If he is in, he will definitely be a threat. But I think, you know, given how touted this signing has come across as, I'm sure Troy's game planning for that, you know, okay, if they do see him.
Follow-up question. All right. So I definitely do pick up on Alicia's confidence about we should get the win. This is why I would throw this out there, and I want to see what you think. Okay, Sacramento's goalkeeper did go. He is playing with their primary goalkeeper is now playing with another club, right? I don't know where he went to, Cohen, but now they have Diaz back there. Mm-hmm. Now, Diaz's first game, of course, against RGV, concedes 2 goals. Okay, so obviously he hasn't played all year, and now he is the main guy. How much of an advantage is that going to be for us? Do you think the guy ultimately, does he rise up to the occasion? Just speculate. Does he rise up to this occasion, or you know, or is it because he's so new back there? But you have to imagine the number two guy isn't just some scrub. He's obviously a guy that's legitimate.
Right. Well, you know, maybe we saw what Ben did against Cardiff. Now, as far as Diaz, I think I'm pulling up his stats here real quick. I think he's been in one match, maybe, as far as their league play goes. And it's pulling up. Yeah, Cohen went to, I think it's an Israeli club. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Israeli Premier League. So I mean, that's huge for him. But you gotta think that Diaz is training every day, you know, on one side of the pitch or the other. You know, if they're doing, you know, 5-a-side, 7-a-side, whatever, he's in there. He's getting experience against the first club, first team guys. So, and he's experienced too. He's been around the USL since 2014. So it's not like he's some 16, 17-year-old kid coming in without any experience. So I think there may be some areas of concern. But, I mean, he's got a 37% save rate, 2 starts on the season. I mean, he's a talented guy. I mean, I don't see that much of a drop-off.
Okay.
But
so
it could be something we take advantage of.
Right. So things to watch out for, to me, for this match. Watch out for, okay, if Formella is in, watch out to see what the chemistry is like up front. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're thinking that it's not going to be a big factor against us. So that might be one thing in our hat. Number two, Diaz has only got one match in. We know, yes, he is a quality number two. And, you know, that it's not going to just be a handover. And we certainly should not play him like it is. But the fact that it's not just any team coming against Diaz. It's New Mexico United. And, yeah, and they are able to cannon balls into the net, that that could also be a positive for us, a second positive. A third thing is, since they played us, their last five matches, they have only scored 2 goals. They have been very much ousted on the attack. So their lacklusterness to score goals, whereas when we first started playing them, we knew them as a team that was very high up in order with clean sheets, you know, because they got one on us. Mm-hmm. But now they haven't been able to score as much in those matches. So to me, I think that that's also another thing that at least gives us another edge, so to say.
All right, well, let's go around the table real quick. We've had a lot of good discussion here about Sacramento. We'll get our predictions. Alicia, let's start with you.
I believe we'll win 2-0.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going to go ahead and say 2-1 us.
Okay. Josh?
Come back to me.
Come back to you. All right.
where have you been the last 20 minutes?
Answering all these questions that we have on.
Don't answer them. We're gonna ask them.
Let's see. 8-week road trip. We finally had a week off. Basically had 2 weeks off. Good showing against the international club. 2-1 us.
Oh, he's on the side with me.
Josh.
My heart is saying like 3-1 us,
mm-hmm.
but
wow, that's
I get these gut feelings even when I'm watching like NFL, and I hate it when I have that gut feeling that the Patriots are just gonna win. I had it all through the Super Bowl that they were just gonna win, and I'm having that feeling right now that it's gonna be a 2-2 draw.
Okay, so that's gonna you've heard our predictions, you've heard our discussion. That's gonna do it for our Jarrell Motors Revved Up recap. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these words from Jarrell Motors.
Motors is dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. Doral Motors is your number one source for buying quality pre-owned vehicles. In addition, we offer a full array of financing options to meet your needs. Visit Doral Motors today at 6701 Lomas Boulevard Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or visit them on the web at DoralMotorsNM.com. Welcome back to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Thanks, Josh. We are back. We are coming to you live again from the Roadrunner Law Firm offices. And we're going to jump right into it. I keep saying it each and every week, my favorite part of the show, the full-time fan Q&A, of course, brought to you by our sponsor, Roadrunner Law Firm. Josh, who you got queued up for us?
Where do I begin?
Hopefully not Scott this week.
No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, don't worry. It gets better.
Yeah, we have, do you want me to save that one for last?
Yeah, save that one for last. Okay. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
We have Jacob from Somos Unidos News.
Yo, Jacob, what's going on?
He was commenting on the Sacramento game. He says, I think you throw out the first match with Sacramento. Secondary lineup, cheap penalty, two late goals, as we were pushing for a tying goal.
Yeah.
He also predicted a 3-1 United victory.
3-1.
And who will be your man of the match on Wednesday is what he's asking.
Okay, round table. Seth.
Man of the match.
You only got 2 goals, so.
Brucey.
Come back to me.
Hey, you can't pull. Can't pull a Josh. You're joshing me.
Oh, I saw what you did. I saw what you did there, Josh.
I'm gonna say Santi.
Santi, okay.
Wow. So does he get a hat trick in your 3-1 victory there?
No.
No. Okay.
No. Just Santi's the man of the match.
Okay, I'm going to have to say that Frater is the man of the match.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say Freighter, maybe to pull him up for the Golden Boot.
All right, sounds good. Jacob, thank you so much for the text, brother. We'll have to get you on the show one day. Yeah.
All right. You know, we can't have a show without Egan.
Egan.
I hope this doesn't charge me international text messaging here, Egan.
Because where is he calling from? Or where is he texting us from?
From England.
Yes.
He is one of our major fans in England. He said, guys, I was able to watch the Cardiff game on YouTube. Nothing better than watching it in a pub with all your buddies who are Cardiff fans and having them watch it with the United. They said the United, seeing the solace sign was just an amazing, heartfelt moment. They couldn't thank us enough for that. As you all know, it was a terrible tragedy. He has a question for all of us. All
right.
Okay. He said, you guys seem like you know soccer, or football is what we call it. he says, okay, you're one-on-one. You get a matchup with anybody in the room with you guys right now. Who would you want to do a one-on-one shootout with between the hosts here at the Seek and Strike Collective?
Just a plain old shootout?
Yeah, you have to select you versus somebody else in the room. So who would you take to want to battle in a one-on-one shootout?
I'd go up against you, Josh. I think that'd be an interesting one right there.
That'd be fun. Yeah. I'm down.
Why would you choose Josh? Let's hear this.
Why? I think we both have a tendency to go one way in the goal, probably. You know, Josh probably tried to hit like that bottom left corner or something, and I think it'd be a good matchup. But Egan, of course, thank you so much for your text, man. You know, you guys are awesome. I know it was like 2:45 in the morning for you guys when the match kicked off.
Yeah,
so,
it was early.
Glad that you guys were able to watch, and we appreciate.
He was messaging during the game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We got to go to the next person, Josh. Who do you got?
I would take you on, Chris.
Okay, why?
The reason why is because I think that I would have an advantage. I think you wouldn't know where the ball was going, and it's just like a Ducks King shootout. I would stop you in your tracks, and I would just put
quack.
I would put it high post, top right corner. Nothing you can stop.
High post, top right. Can you even get the ball up that much?
I could. I played soccer for 4 years, sir. I know how to do these stuff. So.
Oh man. Okay. All right. Well, I would not go against Josh. And I would not go against Alicia. I would go against Seth.
Okay, why?
Well, I mean, he's from Atlanta, and athleticism is second rate to Alabamians. So ultimately, I know that I could just get around him. Like I would take him one way and then pull a deke and then go the other way and then just put it right
the thing
in.
The thing, Chris, underneath. Is I'm not a UGA supporter, so the Alabama-UGA argument doesn't hold any
weight. Oh, that's right. Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
He's a techie.
That's even worse. It's a Yellow Hornet.
All right, Alicia, who would you want to face in this room?
Probably all of us.
I think I'd do Josh and see if he still have those soccer skills.
We're going to have to do this.
Yeah.
I think that Alicia nutmegs Josh.
What?
What?
That's entirely possible, yeah.
I think she nutmegs you. Just kicks it right through your legs.
All right, so we do have another question. This one's for Alicia. To be the best, you've got to beat the best, and she's the best in the room.
Oh, that's what Jacob said.
Okay.
All right,
Jacob.
No one challenged her, so.
We pick up what you're laying down. Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's see here. Of course, couldn't be a show without Emilio.
Emilio, what's going on?
He said that he saw Chris in the stands. He was trying to get to him, but he had too much food in his hand to go and
Chris
say
or Emilio?
Emilio saw Chris.
Okay. What?
In the stands.
Which stands?
Not the stands, but I saw you at the game, sorry.
Cardiff?
Yeah, Cardiff game. He wanted to go say hi, but he had too much food in his hand, and he had his little boy with him, so unfortunately he wasn't able to say hi to you.
He had too much food in his hand. I got you. Yeah. Oh. Well, hey, man, definitely... Let's run into each other at the El Paso match.
Yeah. He said, guys, question for all of you. If you had to spend one day with a New Mexico United player, who would it be and why?
Alicia, you want to go first on this one?
I think it'd be Santi. He's from Spain, so I would like to know more about his background, how he got into soccer, and if he feels like if he's Premier League ready, if he were to get picked, who would be his team?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris?
Come back to me.
Come back to
you. You can't stop pulling the joke. I would want to hang out with Cody Mizell. I think Cody's like a real, he seems like a real relaxed dude. And
he's a Georgia boy.
He's a Georgia boy?
He's a Georgia boy. He's from about 30 minutes north of where I grew up.
Is he a Georgia fan, do you know?
No, he's a Clemson fan. He's a Clemson fan. He went to Clemson.
Yeah. Then ACC. I would definitely want to hang out with him and watch a football game with Chris. There's nothing better than more people Clemson cheering against Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And then Cody, even standing near him when me and Adam are on the field, he gives us a little nod. So I think it'd be cool to hang out with him for a
Yeah, day. Cody's always been super friendly anytime. Yeah. Like I said, Georgia boy. I was going to say Cody as well, but I mean, since you've already taken Cody, I mean, I got to spend some time with Brucey the other day. I think Bruce would be a heck of a lot of fun to hang out with, but I want to go. If I had to like spend a whole day with someone that I haven't like had some time around yet, I'd go hang out with Manny. See, we'd probably just chill, do some Twitch streaming.
Do some Twitch streaming. That's true. That's a cool one too, because he would be fun because he is very very interactive. We mess around on Twitter. I would hang out with Tommy Madden. We've gotten to chat a little bit through the messenger, and he is a pretty cool guy. Just kind of seeing his life at a glance, like through social media, definitely someone that I want to hang out with, coming from North Carolina. So definitely want to see some of the country backwoods kind of vibe that he's got too. So that's my pick.
Egan responded back saying he would want to hang out with Coach because he is so well-dressed. he would challenge him to a tie-off and who can wear the best tie and tie it fast. Who can tie it the fastest?
That'd be tough, man. I mean, Coach, of course, Troy was named the best-dressed coach in the USL Championship. Another award for United early in the season. But,
yeah.
All right. So we've had her a few times. Stephanie's texting in. She says, "Hello, guys. Great show. Loving it. Loving that Alicia's back. It's always nice to have a female on the show to up you boys." She said that I will be at the game this weekend cheering on the United and Sacramento just because I'm near the area. I cheer for both squads. Looking at you guys on YouTube, it was great being able to watch you guys play Cardiff City. Do you think Kevon Frater learned a lesson from missing so many important games that he'll cool it down on the yellow cards? I want to hear everybody's opinion on this.
Stephanie, again, thank you so much for the question. We love hearing from everyone every single week. So who wants to open up this one here?
Go, Josh.
Me? I honestly think Troy needed to sit down with Kevon Frater and say, "Look, we could have really used you against Minnesota. You got to cool your temper, bud. I know you're a very competitive guy, but you've got to cool it down."
Yeah.
The reason why is we're going into the second boot of the season now. We need you. You're in the golden boot race. You want to be the best, but you got to calm that temper. And, I can see it. He's a very competitive guy. But, like I tell my kids, the ones who are competitive when I'm coaching is just go out there and relax. Yes, you want to win, but remember, you're out here representing that shield on your chest. And New Mexico United is the most important thing. And we don't want to be known as the team that is leading the league in yellow cards. It used to be like when the New Mexico Scorpions were here. The Scorpions were always in the penalty box, and we were always known as the thuggish team.
Yeah.
You don't want to be known as that team. You want to be known as the best.
So, yeah, you don't be the Chelsea of the USL.
Hey.
Diego Costa is one of the dirtiest players in the game, man. I don't even want to hear it. No, I mean,
heard of your soccer team.
I love...
Everest.
Everton.
Everton. Yeah.
Everyone knows who Everton is. But no, I love Kevon's intensity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see him lose that. But I think what we need to, you hear it talked about a lot, smart fouls, tactical fouls. If he's going to foul and if it's going to be severe enough to stop play and warrant a card, be more tactical about it. Make sure it's in a spot where it's necessary. Stop someone from taking a break on the wing. Just don't be that last man. Otherwise, you get the dog so call. But, I definitely, like I said, I don't want to see him lose that intensity, but I think he needs to be smarter about the fouls.
Yeah, definitely do agree with Seth about being smarter with the fouls, especially against Sacramento, because, they definitely did take kind of a physical style towards United. And, of course, Schmidt being a former player, we know that sort of animosity will play to Sacramento's advantage again, and that they really did try to pull our guys across, because if you do remember, Frater did have kind of, he did have a foul in that match that was really like blatant, like something that he shouldn't have even just endorsed. But that being said, the second time around, I do agree with Josh that Troy, because Seth's in here dressed all nice, man. He's got me thinking about Troy now. But that Troy does talk to him and does really ask them to consider like not giving away so many fouls, because that game was pandemonium for foul after foul. And so I do hope that he stops in certain matches. You know, I mean, other ones he's going to obviously, they're going to let him loose a little bit.
Alicia?
Yeah, I feel like Frater, hopefully he does cool it down. He is one of our key players out there. And I think Josh said that for Troy to sit down with him, like, hey, you need to stop. There's times when to be that aggressive, and other times just, like, you know, just take it back a notch. And, yeah, he just needs to stop. Sometimes I feel like he doesn't give that much intensity in games. If you see him, I feel like he's very go-with-the-flow kind of guy. Like, the way he runs, you can tell that he's very calm. But when you can tell somebody pushes him, he's going to do it 10 times harder back. But, yeah, he really does need to stop.
Let's see here. Jacob responded back to us on this topic. He said, I don't think he will for two reasons. Number one, he's a feisty player. And number two, he has the reputation already.
All right, great question from Stephanie. Yeah. I think we got
a. It's a good comment there, Jacob.
Yeah. All righty, guys. Two more, and then we gotta keep going here. This one is from. I don't want to butcher his name. He just put his last name, Kaziskinicki.
That's it.
He's asking, hey guys, I am from Texas. I'm going to be going down to my first New Mexico United El Paso Locomotive game. What are some restaurants you guys recommend? I want to eat some good New Mexican food. I am new to, I'm originally from Dallas, but I want to eat some good New Mexican food. I want an opinion from everybody on what their best food place to eat there is before I enjoy the match.
Hmm.
Alicia, you're first.
Come back to me.
What?
Oh, I think he's doing this on purpose. It's like a sponsor ad or something.
Favorite place to eat. I mean, it's tough, like, not because I'm not from here, but there's just a lot of good places to eat. I would recommend here, Standard Diner is always good. I don't know if you've all been there or not, but I believe it was featured on like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives at one point. Mm-hmm. So good, it's really good food. We've enjoyed it every time we've been there. And the last time I was there, I believe Ron Patel was actually there. So.
Okay.
There was a few folks from the club there. So.
This is a tough one. New Mexican food. I've always been a fan of Monroe's. I think the Monroe's on Academy in Osuna, next to Salt Yard, is a really good place to eat. But, you know, for me, if you want breakfast before the game, you go to Wex. Wex has a pretty good breakfast over there. Just I don't do red chili, so unfortunately.
Ooh.
Go with the green.
Well, I'd say if you're going to get breakfast, you got to go to Church Street Diner. Church Street Cafe. Church Street Cafe. That's definitely a spot. Of course, everyone's raving about cinnamon rolls at Frontier.
Oh, the Frontier.
You would go there. I would say a place that I would recommend, as I'm thinking about it, I want to say Sadie's, but I feel like I got to challenge myself and go further and say I think you should go to Tia Betty Blue's Diner, the Waffleria, or go to Grandma's K&I Diner.
Ooh, home of the Travis.
Yes, home of the Travis.
Did you ever see that on Man vs. Food?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
The giant burrito and all the fries covered.
That was my friend, Travis Albreski. He couldn't finish, I think.
Grandma's K&I Diner. That's my top choice for you.
I have two. You should check out Lindo Mexico. It's on Louisiana and Central. That's a really, really good place. And, of course, Doghouse. You gotta go there.
Oh, the Doghouse, yeah.
Doghouse, okay.
Now accepting credit cards. Because it was cash for the longest time. All right, guys. So we had that guy from talking about the El Paso game. We actually have a special person texting in from the Loco. Seriously, Loco. He goes, hey guys, yeah. Phil from Seriously Loco here. We've been experiencing similar slumps but you play a game in between now and the 31st. Do you see playing Sac Republic as an advantage to maybe gain confidence or a hindrance as well? Or hindrance as we'll have 10 days between matches?
I think for us, it's a positive. I mean, we've got, because like Phil said, and Phil, thank you so much for texting in. I know Chris and I both follow you on Twitter, so you know, I think it's a benefit for us. You know, we had the exhibition against Cardiff. We've got a chance to get back in the league play. Then we'll have a week in between matches. You know, I think it's going to be good for us. I think it's a good chance for us to really find our footing again here in the second half.
In the words of Adam Sandler from The Longest Yard, okay, we're going to play Sacramento, our tune-up game. Kick the living crap out of them, build the guy's confidence, and then we go into El Paso and dominate.
There you go.
I did read an article today that said El Paso dominated in a draw match with, who did they just play?
How do you dominate in a draw?
Statistically, you can dominate.
Statistically, you can dominate. So
stats statistically are wrong.
So
statistically speaking, 14% of all stats are made up.
Exactly. See?
So I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so right now they are banged up. I mean, they do got some injuries. Logan Kederer wasn't in the match. Their goalkeeper. So. He was sitting. Kiesewetter was also sitting as well. They did see their new player, Sebastian Velasquez. Like, he was in the match as well. And, of course, they got Becky back. So in kind of reading some of their media, their coach, Mark Lowry, does expect all of their main players to be back come New Mexico. So this stint of time is good rest for them. I think for us, we do need the Sacramento match, and ultimately, yes, it would be a tune-up for us, but if you remember the original match, we were coming back from each goal that El Paso scored. Now, Seth, back in the day, commented that it looks like the swap must be flooded because it seemed like our guys were always slipping all over the place.
Yeah,
we won't have that issue. Here at our pitch.
No,
so
kidding.
Ultimately, I do think that the Sacramento match is going to help us. I think that they're going to see a much different New Mexico team because that team was putting up points and not defending leads. And Troy has really been about them obviously putting up the points, the one or two if they need, and then just defensively shutting down the other squad and just creating chances. So Sacramento helps us, and I mean, I think it's going to be a good match. We aren't going to go into the prediction of that just yet. We're going to hold Phil in suspense for another week, though.
Yeah, so El Paso just came off a draw against Real.
And they've been on a run.
Yeah, Real's been playing really well of late.
That's all the questions I have.
That's it. All right. So that's going to do it for our full-time fan Q&A. Of course, brought to you by Roadrunner Law Firm. We are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsor, Roadrunner Law.
Where's the call, ref?
Yeah, that should have been a yellow.
They just never seem to get it right.
And the game continues.
If you have been hurt or injured by someone, you deserve the right call. Roadrunner Law Firm specializes in personal injury cases and wants you to get the right call. Raise up a yellow card if you've lost a loved one due to a wrongful death, been in a car or motorcycle accident, been hurt by a drunk driver, or been hurt due to negligence of others. If the right call was not made, we'd like to hear from you. For more information, visit our website at www.roadrunnerlaw.com or make the call to Roadrunner Law Firm at 505-444-4321.
Welcome back to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Thank you, Josh. We are back. And you guys just heard our full-time fan Q&A, of course, brought to you by Roadrunner Law Firm. We appreciate the questions we get each and every week. You know, we were just talking about El Paso and statistically dominating matches. You know, how can you dominate a draw? I pulled up the stats. El Paso has nearly 66% possession. They won almost 60% of the duels.
How are they passing?
Passingly, look at that tab real quick. They had 10 interceptions. They won 62% of the aerial duels. 17 shots, five of which were on target. So, I mean, passing 575 to 313. Passing accuracy, 91% accuracy. 34 crosses. I mean, El Paso most definitely did dominate this match statistically. How they didn't get a goal, I don't know. But, you know, that just goes to show you can play tremendously well and then not get the result that you hope for. I mean, 17 shots is a lot. You know, I mean, they're still a little under 30%, right around 30% actual accuracy on those, at least in their last match. But it's tough anytime you get a draw like that. You know, you play that hard and you don't get the result. I mean, Chris, you had a question for us tonight. You know, we know we've got Sacramento coming up for us on Wednesday night. But beyond that, are you guys watching anything this weekend? You know, any particular matches, any other sports? I know there's like NBA Summer League going on, but I don't think anyone really cares about the NBA. I mean, I just saw something that said Tim Duncan's joining the Spurs coaching staff.
That's what I said.
You know, but, I mean,
stole your thunder.
Who really cares? I mean, it's NBA. It's NBA offseason. We got soccer to talk about.
It's the wrong podcast.
Timmy D is a genius.
Well, so let's just go around and say, were you guys watching anything? What are we doing this weekend?
Well, wait, before we go into what we're watching, I know, Alicia, you wanted to talk about the Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Carlos Vega drama that's unfolding on the internet. Yes, Seth, we're going to have this. This is like the soap opera of the night. So you want to give us the honors here?
Yes, so Carlos Vela, he plays for LAFC and did play for the Mexico national team, the men's. And, you know, Zlatan, he did play Premier League, and he's in his late 30s now. And Vela's only 29. And the drama that unfolded before the LAFC and LA Galaxy game on Friday night, I believe it was, Zlatan said that at 29, he was playing Premier League with Barcelona. And at 29, Carlos Vela's playing in the MLS. And that's when people started saying, well, he's better than him, and he's better than him. But, I mean, with Carlos Vela, he only sees soccer as his job. He doesn't like the sport. He tells that to everybody that he meets with. If you're going to talk to me, don't talk to me about soccer. Talk to me about any other sport except that, because that is my job. I do not like it. But, if he had the passion and the drive to play, he'd be one of the best out there. And the coach for the men's Mexico national team, he asked him, do you want to play? And he straight up told him no. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, Vela can do whatever he wants. He can say and do whatever he wants. I mean, realistically, it is a job. Yeah, that's the most basic way of looking at it. You know, who's better, who's... At the same point in time, Ibra had scored nearly 70 more goals in his career than Vela.
Mm-hmm.
Ibra's hands down the better player. He played in a much tougher league than what Carlos Vela is playing in, and there's no comparison. I mean, all this is going to do, the only benefit to this for anyone, is that it's going to drive the ratings for LAFC and LA Galaxy. That's it. And I think they might play each other one more time this year.
They do have to go into that game.
But it's, honestly, it doesn't matter to anyone outside of LA. It really doesn't. We all know that Zlatan's one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying it. He is. And the comparison between the two players is just ridiculous.
It is. It really is. You know, and I liked Carlos Vela, but when he did that whole thing that he doesn't like soccer, he doesn't want to play for the Mexico men's national team, that's where I was like, you know what, like, screw you, like, we don't need you. I mean, yeah, Zlatan is the better player out there as far as other players, too. You look at, in LA Galaxy 2, Jonathan Dos Santos. I feel like he's equal to Vela, but Vela is a little bit better. But the fact that Jonathan has the attitude and the passion for the sport, you can see it in him.
Chris, Josh, you guys have anything?
Yeah, I'll say something on that. I mean, what I'm going to comment on at all is I do personally like how they interviewed Zlatan prior to the game, and they're asking him, like, his kind of take on being compared, and he was like, that's your mistake for comparing me. Like, he was essentially saying, like I'm better than the rest, you know, and they were like, well, you're going to prove that tonight? You're going to show us? And then he goes out and gets a hat trick, and he does it stylishly with, like, a left foot and a right foot goal and then a header. And then after the fact, you know, it's like the hugest mic drop in the world. And I'm just thinking to myself, like shot caller, like, this guy, like, who else could basically get fronted on an interview and be like, yo, this is what you're saying. Can you prove it? And then he goes out, turns it on, and then walks away with the hattie, and it's like, boom, there you go. I personally, I love Zlatan. Like, I'm a Galaxy fan, so I personally think that, you know, like, if someone's got that sort of flex on you, more power to them. Like, he went out and did his thing. He talked the talk and he walked the walk.
I don't really watch these two teams, so I have
right. The dude
is just a monster in real life. Like, if you see, my cousin walked next to him, and it was just like, that dude is just should not be a human being, because that's not a human being.
Talking about, you ever walk? I walked next to Herschel Walker once. Dude's just a brick wall. Like, I imagine.
Dude, I played football against Alan Branch.
Yeah.
Dude picked me up one arm. but you know, it's funny, Seth. This is the last weekend without NFL football.
Yeah.
We're back to NFL next week.
Then we're not going to see Josh ever.
No. You know who's playing in the Hall of Fame game, right?
It's Atlanta and
Denver.
Denver, yeah.
So I challenge you, sir,
okay,
to a friendly competition, to friendly bet.
Wait, I got to get this on video.
I don't know if you do this or not, but I challenged Seth during the Hall of Fame game. I know it's just preseason, but it's preseason fun. Loser has to drink a shot of apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar?
Okay. Live here on Instagram.
Sure, why not?
Okay, there we go. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
So, there's really not much more to say about the whole LAFC thing. So the fact that Ibra's most likely going to be banned for this Friday night's match against Atlanta United. So, I
figured there was a tie-in somewhere here. Let's go back to what we were going to watch. Yeah. So what are you going to be watching, Seth? Because we don't have any soccer this weekend.
Right. I mean, if anything, I mean, I'll probably watch the Atlanta United LAFC match Friday night. Because we're actually we're taking a little trip this weekend. So, you know, really won't be watching too much. But, yeah, I mean, if anything, it'll be LAFC, Atlanta. You know, we'll see what happens.
Okay. I'm going to watch the Galaxy Portland Timbers match. I'm going to watch that match. And then the other match I'm going to be watching. Well, there's two more matches I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch the Manchester United Tottenham Spurs little preseason match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know Tyler, you know, he'll be watching that match too. So I'm sure that there'll be some banter coming through his cell phone. USL wise, I'm going to actually take a trip to the other side of the table and go ahead and watch the Tampa Bay Rowdies match against New York Red Bulls.
Okay.
Just real quick, sorry. I'm going to watch the Colorado-San Jose game because my friend's a San Jose Earthquake fan. So that, and then also, Chris, it's freeway series between my Angels and your Dodgers this week. So
I'm just watching soccer right now, bro.
I don't care. Because we beat you 2-0 last time, so.
All right, it's all about the end of the season that really matters, right? So
where you won't be in the World Series.
And was Alicia, what are you guys watching this weekend?
I think gonna watch a couple of the Liga MX games. You know, Club America versus León or Cruz Azul and Toluca.
All right, so it sounds like everyone's got a pretty full slate of things they're either going to be watching and or doing this weekend.
Well, and that kind of, sorry to interject on you there, just kind of slide it in. But that just to say that we're all kind of starting to bring in a little bit more, so you might hear something more about MLS stuff as Alicia's been watching that. And, you know, of course, we're going to be venturing into the land of English Premier League. I know Seth will be kind of driving some of those conversations for us, in which we'll have a special guest joining us, which we will keep unnamed for now, because it'll be a treat for sure. And just watching different leagues, Liga MX, and of course, just pulling it all into the conversation. So we definitely want to hear what you guys got to say about these conversations.
There's nothing Sunday, right? I'm not missing anything Sunday.
As far as, I don't know.
Games or matches or important things, because I will be at reliving my high school days at a concert. So
nice. Which one?
The Disrupt Festival with the U's, Sum 41, Thrice.
Wow.
That's like 2003 all over, man. I was 23.
Yeah. I just don't want to miss anything important.
I don't think there's anything. I have to double check, but off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
Because I wouldn't care anyway. Major I'm reliving my high school days. So. Reliving sophomore year all over again.
But yeah, so I mean, that's going to get us out of here for tonight. We thank everyone for, of course, joining in and listening live, sending in your text as always. We appreciate it. And as always, our show would not be responsible without our wonderful sponsors. Of course, Roadrunner Law Firm for everything that they do for us, allowing us to use their offices to bring the show to you the last few weeks and going forward. And of course, Doral Motors as well for their continued support of the show. And of course, we are interested in teaming up with other community partners here in Albuquerque or even abroad. If you like what we're doing, if you want to support the show, support what we're doing and be a part of it here, you can of course reach out to us at seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com, and Chris will get back to you and we'll find out what you're wanting to partner up with us on.
Yeah, and you can listen to all previous episodes of We Are Seek and Strike podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you hear something you like, please consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. Definitely go on to Apple or Spotify and give us a rating as well as leave us some feedback. We thrive on that. We definitely want to hear how our listeners are enjoying the show. For all of our Seek and Strike Collective media, you can find that on seekandstrikecollective.com, and that will have all of our articles as well as other things that we're doing on social media platforms as well.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for us here tonight. We will be back next Monday at 8:30 Mountain Time for Alicia, Seth, Chris, and myself. We are Seek and Strike Collective, and you've been listening to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. You guys take care. We'll see you next Monday. Goodbye, everybody.
A little bit of disregard, handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel, but it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So I go watching you turn your back like you always do, face away and pretend that I'm not, but I'll be here cause you're all that I got. I can't insecure, a little unconfident, cause you don't understand. I do what I can, but sometimes it don't make sense. I am what you never want to say, but I've never had a doubt. It's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you. But once